Hello, fellow enjoyers of the AFL. Dino here in what is a first ever solo pod of a breakdown of the round. Obviously, Matt has done his awesome Supercoach videos, but this is the first ever solo match review. And no, it's not that I've just gone solo. The boys are unfortunately unable to join today. Matt's are, of course, sipping away on his Freddo espressos in Greece. And Georgie Svender, he's unfortunately sick. Not sure if he's actually sick or if he's just sick and tired of Carlton letting him down, but look, I'll let you guys decide. Obviously, won't be a lot of discussion today, just me going on a lot of rants and rambling, so just bear with me. But look, it was too good of a round. And to be fair, the boys sort of carried the pod while I was away for a few weeks when my daughter was born, so I thought I'll repay the boys with a bit of a surprise solo pod today. So let's get right into it. First game of the round, probably a little bit flat. The Doggies just did what we thought they'd do. Love that they went by Footscray. Awesome move by the Dogs in retro round. Look, the Ds, they're just banged up, man. Gorney, he's back, but he's, I mean, fair enough to the guy. He did an awesome performance, but no Petrarca. Oliver's not at his best. Gorn's not at his best. Stephen May went down as well. And the Dogs are just probably them, along with the Lions and the Hawks, probably the two informed teams, two or three informed teams of the comp. And they've just really found their correct structure. Obviously, we've spoken about Lob at the back. Norton's hit form, Jamara's hit form, even though he was inaccurate the other night. Excellent midfield blend as well, like Richards, Bont, Treloar, Libba doing his thing but not having to carry the load as much. And I said a few weeks ago, and the boys sort of laughed, but Caleb Poulter, man, this guy, he can play. And if he just got a more serious haircut, I reckon he'd be spoken about as one of the best wingmen in the game at the moment. But yeah, look, from get-go on this one, Dogs just sort of did the business. It kind of worked out, funnily, for the AFL because the other game on, and I was questioning this second Friday night game, having the Suns and Gold Coast, I'm thinking, why would you put them on so late? Like, no one's going to watch that. But as it turned out, the Melbourne game was kind of over and it allowed for easy transition to the next game. So, talking about that one, I must admit, I was watching more of the Melbourne Doggies game. Just thought, what's the point of watching Gold Coast that I've completely slandered and written off ever since North beat them? But the game was actually sick. If anyone was actually watching the game, it was one of the more physically brutal games, especially in that last quarter, that I've seen all year. Like, credit to the Eagles. They brought the heat, man. They really wanted to win this one. Super entertaining game. Like, when Elliot Yeo and Harley Reid sort of smash in their weight around in the middle of the ground. But just the ferocity all around, man. Like, you had Waterman doing his thing. Allen sort of hit a bit of form. Cripps was good as well. Ryan was good. But yeah, it was just a brutal game. Like, for anyone watching it, if you didn't know who these teams were or where they were on the ladder, you'd think this was like prelim final, like absolute must-win game for both teams. So really, yeah, really impressive. But I must say, Gold Coast, I formally want to ask the AFL, don't bring in a 20th team when the Tassie Devils come around. Let's just get rid of one team called Fold Coast and just get rid of these guys. They've been in the league how long now? Not even close to finals. They've never had a winning record ever, right? And apparently they're 70% of the way to a grand final list, according to Damien Hardwick. I don't know, mate. If you're 70% of the way to a grand final list, surely you can get a winning record. Surely you can win an away game, whether it be against North, which you failed on, Eagles, you failed on, every team you've gone away to, you failed on. Like, it's actually wild that a team can be so good at home and so bad away. But yeah, my opinion, honestly, is why expand and stretch out the talent pool of AFL players and have potentially worse players on lists when Tassie comes around and potentially the Northern Territory team come around? Why not just get rid of Gold Coast? They don't have many fans, and like, fair play to the fans that do show up, but there's not many of them, of course. You might be thinking, look at the guy in the North top talking about fan and crowd size, but my North had 35,000 the other day, which we'll speak about. But I just think, look, Queensland's not really a footy state. The team has not done anything for the fans to get around and sort of build a fan base. Like, when you're a new team, the AFL pumped a lot of money in you. You'd really hope that there's some success pretty soon on. Like, GWS, good example. Took them a couple of years to get going, but they're consistently a good team now. And there is a bit of a buzz at their games. Like, their atmosphere at the Hawks game earlier today was really impressive. And that's what you expect from a smaller club, a club still finding its way. So maybe it's a bit harsh. I mean, I do like a lot of players on Gold Coast, but ultimately, when you've been in the league so long, you've had no success whatsoever, and you're already a small market, it kind of makes me think, like, why have, yeah, with that expanded talent pool, potentially worse players playing in the league, less quality brand, just to justify having 20 teams instead of 18 again. It wouldn't be the first team of teams folded as well, or had that discussion brought up. So, I don't know. But look, let's talk West Coast a little bit. Jakey the Snake Waterman, 4 goals. Right, this guy, when he's on, and he sort of lost his form and fitness over the last couple of weeks post-bye, but when he's up and about and the Eagles are playing good footy, crucially, he does really well. And obviously, his strength is just incredible, especially for his size. He's not one of the monster forwards in the league, but he plays like it. And look, I guess any forward really needs supply. And there's been plenty of players kicking a lot of goals on bad teams, just being the main focal point. But I guess when you are a little bit undersized, you show your best self when your team's playing well. So, good on Jake the Snake. Like I said, Oscar Allen chipped in with 2. But really it was the brutality around the ball. And in that last quarter as well, like Mitch McGovern. Jeremy McGovern just stood up, leader down the back. And I don't think it's a coincidence that now the Eagles kind of have their senior players all fit and firing is when they're actually showing their proper form that we maybe saw from them earlier in the year when we thought, man, the Eagles are back, and then they taper off again. It is sort of parallel to the players being in and fit and firing. So, I mean, surprise, surprise, a team's best players, most experienced players being fit leads to better results, but these guys don't have a lot of talent in the back end of their list to really carry them when the big guns are out. So, you know, similar to like a Collingwood, for example, a lot of good players out, but the bottom of their list is obviously at a higher level, you know, and being more experienced in general. So they're able to sort of carry, even though the form's not been as good, but being able to carry the outs in a way that the Eagles just can't. So kind of solidifies the Eagles finishing third last, unless a miracle happens and North just completely wallops them next week. But we know North, and they don't really win by more than a couple goals. So they've probably locked in that third last spot. North probably locked in a second last, and Richmond most likely last now. So that tantalizing bottom three race that I know everyone's been keeping an eye on looks to have a bit more clarity. But yeah, speaking of the bottom three race, so North v Richmond. I was at the game with my father-in-law, had a good time. Kind of a weird feeling. The other week when we beat Gold Coast, we were, in a way, the underdog and hadn't won at home in ages. So that was like a euphoric moment. The atmosphere was insane. This one was a bit different. It was kind of two teams. A lot of fans showed up. Like I said, 35,000. And I think everyone just thought, this is the one we're going to win, right? And that happened to North earlier in the year when we played Hawthorn, who were 0-5. North was 0-5. And that did not go well for North at all. But this one was a bit different. It kind of started, North was just disgracefully bad in the first 10 minutes. I thought to myself, you are absolutely kidding me. We're going to bottle another match against a team that, at this point in time, North should be beating, or at least be playing a really, really competitive game with. But it was just such a bad game in terms of skill errors. And I've since rewatched the highlights. Joey Montagna doing his best to hype up what's happening in the game. But the reality when you're sitting at the game was, it was a deflected handball, steal of possession by the Tigers, then North steals it back. In other words, no team could really get some cohesive football going on. So I think in the end, though, North's higher-end players all delivered. So you had Larky kicking 5, LDU over 30 touches, 3 goals, Sheasel, class in the second half. So I think, yeah, Tristan Sherry, of course. So all the big dogs kind of stepped up when we needed it and just delivered the result. I will say a few interesting observations from the game. Jaden Stevenson, probably the most, currently the biggest whipping boy in North Melbourne. And you know what? Kind of fair enough, because we're playing him out of position in defence. And anyone that's seen this guy play, with all due respect to him, he's not really what you'd call like an intense or strong, physically tough player that should be playing in the defence. So he does a few shitty disposals, kicks it on the full. The crowd is just moaning and groaning. But then he goes to the wing in the second half. Dylan Stevens gets subbed off. And I must say, from the wing position, where it's obviously a much more outside game, and he can go forward as well. And he had a few score assists, kicked that clutch goal on the three-quarter time siren to pretty much put the lead, I'm not going to say beyond doubt, but it was hard for Richmond to come back from that point. So well done, Stevo. I think, yeah, did you guys see Dersma's specky, man? That kid, I told my father-in-law on the way in, who had never seen Dersma play live, I said, he won't get many touches, but he will jump for everything, and he's likely to take a specky in any given week. And lo and behold, he had a good mark in the first quarter, but then topped it off with that specky as well. So that was absolutely awesome. I will say this though, funny story for you guys. So I'm at the footy, sitting, we were third level where the general admin was, and there was a guy a few rows ahead, right? And you know, I'm sure we've all heard the term plumber's crack, right? It's when typically a plumber. With, you know, fair credit to them. They're on their hands and knees a lot. Pants slide down a bit. You see a bit too much of what you don't want to see down back, right? There's no excuse for being exposed to this at the football. Now, I hope this guy was a plumber and he was just wearing his work pants. That would kind of justify it. But man, like, I'm not talking 1 or 2 centimeters of exposure here. I'm talking like half ass out. Completely disgraceful. If you are listening, mate, just come on. Like, how are you not feeling that breeze? I know we're in Marvel and there's no breeze, but you're going to feel that cold, right? Anyway, I digress. As is Matt's famous call in the Supercoach pods. Little bit about Richmond. I mean, look, their big guns did stand up. Nank played pretty well. Baker, Dusty didn't, but their on-ballers like Taranto and co. did a decent job and actually at times had a lot of momentum in the clearance against the pretty good clearance team in North. But yeah, the bottom end of their list is just depleted. A lot of young kids playing. So despite North being the younger team on paper, technically still with less games experience, I think we've gotten to a point of our structure and our point in the season where our baseline level is just a bit higher than the Tigers. So they did what they've been doing recently, which is a credit to them, keeping themselves in the game. But North was always looking, you know, especially in the second and third quarter, like the better team and the team more likely to go on a bit of a run. Charlie Coleman played defense again. Obviously, Griffin Logue's out, so I think he's going to play back the rest of the year. Tantalizing one. I'd be keen to hear from North fans, like, where do you think his best position is? Obviously, his best form has been in defense, but key forwards are hard to grow, man. I don't know. I'm sort of thinking, in an ideal world, Logue's back, stick with the Coleman up forward situation, but man, when you're that good of an intercept defender, geez, it's hard to ignore and hard to sort of stay away from that. Shout out Luke McDonald as well, 200 games. Wasn't his best game. I don't think his best football's ahead of him, unfortunately, but no, he's been a great servant of the club, obviously a father-son as well. And speaking of father-sons, Jackson Archer, man, this kid, it's gone from what looked like maybe a pity father-son pick. Didn't show much in his draft year, but man, the way this kid's developed, and he's only played a handful of games, once he puts on a bit more muscle, he'll be even better than he already is. But he's already sort of leaving his man, taking intercepts, intense tackler, great body work. So, yeah, North's really got, I'd say probably 10 to 12 of our team, maybe 70%, if you speak to Damien Hardwick, maybe 70% of our team's actually looking like the team of the future. It's just all about really getting that 30% sorted over the next 2-3 years. And success isn't always linear, so you never know. I'm not going to say as soon as next year, but maybe the year after that, we can go maybe from mid-table to potentially finals and be amongst all the chaos that every other team's in. But yeah, wild on North. Let's talk about the next game. So Geelong sort of made a meal of this one, man. Jeremy Cameron, one of his best games, probably actually his best game of the year. And anyone that was watching it saw that this guy was, he had the look in his eye like he wanted to kill somebody. Like he was as intense as I've ever seen him. And that's a guy that's played in grand finals and, you know, prelims and big matches. Obviously it goes to show like teams in that finals aren't really know that there's no room for error. And Jezza Cameron, yeah, kick six. He was awesome, but he kind of had to save the day in the end because the Crows came hard, and fair play to the Crows and some of these other teams over the last few weeks. They're making these teams fighting for those top 8 spots earn it. And they've had a disappointing year, the Crows. I mean, they've had some shining lights like Rankin when he's been in. He's been electrifying. I think Fogarty's had a really good year. The Beardthorpe has been awesome since he's come back. But, you know, to really stay strong in the contest against Geelong at GMHBA, he's a really impressive feat. But yeah, the Cats in the end, Lawson Humphreys kicked that awesome goal to sort of get them back in front. And then, as I said, Jezza just did his thing. But interesting to see as well. I mean, Stengel, let's talk a little bit about that, right? So in the news comes out that, if I'm not mistaken, he's had a night out and left a club or nightclub scenario unconscious. And he's ended up at the hospital to get checked. And apparently he's okay, which is good. I'm glad he's okay. But really interesting to me, I'm not expecting the AFL to intervene here, but I'm really surprised Geelong hasn't just said, hey mate, you're not like abiding by the standards of the club or an AFL footballer for that matter. You're, you know, internally suspended or just take the week off sort of thing. Maybe you can do it in a nice way. But to sort of just say, yeah, but no, he's back at the club on Monday running laps, he's all good. And then he plays and plays pretty well. I don't know. I just think it's a bit questionable, especially in a day and age where we sort of want the players to set the right examples. You know, to have him clearly doing the wrong thing, taking things a bit too far on a night out. I don't know what he did, but, you know, nights shouldn't end like that. And then he's, yeah, just in without sanction, again, not from the AFL. I'm not expecting a big, you know, big deal out of it, but I'm surprised Geelong didn't do like a internal thing. You know, it just seems like the right thing to do. Sets a good example for the other younger players at the club, perhaps as well. Especially a big money signing. They've just re-signed him, so yeah, a little bit poor, I thought, from the Cats on that one. They're usually a pretty classy club in the way they deal with things, but yeah, a bit questionable on that end. But anyway, the next game. So the reason George isn't on the pod, because he's, again, like I said earlier, just sick and tired of the Blues letting him down, man. I don't know what to say about this team. I mean, if George was here, he'd probably have some profound thoughts about big picture stuff and try not to overreact too much. But he sort of flagged it last week, Georgie. He said, we just don't beat Collingwood. And I don't know. I mean, I don't... North doesn't have like an intense rival like that, so I have nothing to really speak on. But as an outside fan looking in, all I can really say is when you are the better team on the year, like forget history. History is for those players that maybe have been involved in the last few years or, you know, long-term stuff that are sort of defined in the club's history. But that shouldn't matter. I mean, Carlton's been the better team this year. Collingwood's got their injury concerns and issues, and look, they had a lot to play for, the Pies. Scotty Pendlebury, mad respect, got the card in front of me here. 400 games, absolute champion of the game, really classy guy. And Collingwood, look, to be fair, they're fighting for their season too. It's not like they're just some bottom eight team with no chance. Like, they're still a chance to make it. But if you're Carlton, I just don't see how this isn't the time you just pounce, right? They had the opportunity a couple years ago to make finals, blew it. You know, and just countless times over the years, they just don't seem to have the mental edge over this team for some reason. And, you know, classic example during the game, like Collingwood's obviously fired up. Carlton's just not matching their intensity enough and then capitalizing on the mistakes they're causing. Unlike Collingwood, who was happy to defend for large portions of the game and just counterattack quickly and just punish the Blues. Heaps of behinds for Carlton. I know there was a few rushed runs in the beginning there, but 0-8 to start with. It's not really a way to start a big game and really sort of announce yourselves on the contest. But look, it was all about the ending of the game, right? So just bringing up the old scoreworm here. So the Blues, where are we at? So the 19th minute of the quarter, so about 10 minutes to go, they're down by 14 points. But before that, sorry, they were down by 26 early in the last quarter. And you're thinking, forget about it, it's over, right? Couple goals spaced out. And then we get to that point, right, where it's Martin, Akers, Hollands. Three goals, plenty of time left on the clock. And this is, I guess, the disappointing thing for Carlton is, when you've got the momentum and you've kicked a few goals and then all of a sudden it gets to that point, a few minutes to go, and you just can't get over the line until the very end when, man, Mitch McGovern marks that ball. Mats has flagged in the chat. Was he concussed? Is there potential concussion controversy around this one? He did get a shin to the head there on that one. Carlton sort of mishandled potentially the Harry Mackay situation. Maybe a bit of karma on that. I don't know. But he's got the ball. Army of Collingwood fans behind the goal, and he's lining it up. And look, it's shades of Logan McDonald, unfortunately, where he's not even come close. And I think in that moment, not a hard angle, well within his distance, he just want to get close, man. I feel for the guy, and you know, it's a shattering way for Carlton to lose. A lot of boys in the chat were saying it's the hope that kills you. And you know what, like, would they have rather have just lost by 26 points and not mounted any sort of comeback? I don't know. I'm more of a fan of the never give up attitude, as hard as it is to take, but really shocking kick on the siren. You know, you just want to focus on the basics in a moment like that, drop the ball straight on your foot and, you know, drive it towards the goal. But unfortunately, he's miskicked it. And the Blues, season hanging by a thread, man. Let's actually reflect on the ladder here. So the Blues have dropped to eighth now, right? The Doggies, equal points with them, but much better percentage. And now with the Bombers win, which we'll talk about, only 2 points safe from the eight are the Blues. And lucky Hawthorn didn't get over the line, otherwise they'd be tied with them. So, I mean, look, George seems pretty confident in the chat still that the Blues will make finals. I can't trust them right now, is all I can say. I think, you know, we've given a lot of shit to Essendon, and we'll talk about them pretty soon, give them some flowers, but there's some parallels there, unfortunately. And personally, I think Carlton has the better team. Obviously, they've got the Coleman guys up forward, couple stronger defenders, and the midfield I think is more consistent and got some better, more experienced players. But in terms of season trajectory, I mean, what's really different? Starting from a bit higher and ending up a bit higher is pretty much where we're at right now. So I know Georgie and a lot of Carlton fans won't like me saying it, but you got to differentiate yourself from the Bombers somehow. not just being a free fall like them. And a great opportunity for Carlton next week. They're playing the Hawks. So it's really like a, if you lose that one, I don't know, a couple games to go. They do have an easier run, I believe, the Blues, but actually, who have they got? They've got Hawthorn, Eagles. Where's the last game? Hawthorn, then the Eagles. So they should beat the Eagles, right? I mean, surely. And then in their last game, I think they've got the Saints. Yeah, they've got the Saints. I mean, look, the Saints are out to ruin some parties. I know they played like shit today, but I mean, the Lions are just massively in form. I can easily see the Saints making it difficult for Carlton in that last game. And I guess if you're a Carlton fan, you don't want to be going into that game with the opportunity of like a, if you win, you're in. If you're out, if you lose, you're out. Because the pressure will mount and the Saints have nothing to lose. So I don't know. I'd be very uncomfortable if that's where it ended, if I was a Carlton fan. But now, well done to the Pies. Who can we shout out here? Jeremy Howe had a bit of a monster super coach game. Man, Hoskin Elliott just gets it done, doesn't he? 2 goals, 20 touches, 10 marks. That's insane. Dacos, he was classy. 40 hitouts for Cameron. What was... Matt Pitonet, 25 hitouts to 40. Man, Cameron's not even a tap ruckman per se, like getting monster hitout numbers. That's crazy. Tagoe did his hammy as well. So the Pies, man, even if they do make finals by some miracle... Yeah, they're not at their best. So I personally would rather not see them make the finals because I want all the best teams in the finals, of course. But yeah, thrilling game. Classic. Actually, shout out to friend of the pod, JL, who's messaging in the chat. I don't know whose house he was at, but whoever he visited that night was insistent on watching Olympic tennis instead of the footy. And he was just dying inside, being tortured, having to watch the Olympics instead of the classic game. As it turned out, he did get it on in the end, so well done, JL. Bit of an alpha move to ask for the remote. Man, this next game, bloody hell. I just want to apologize to the Port Adelaide Football Club. Not for any other reason other than I'm sorry no one watched your most impressive victory of your club's history, besides your grand final, of course. Man, my only memory of this game, and I must admit, I didn't really watch any of it because I was watching the Carlton-Collingwood game. But the score is just on in the bottom corner. And it's just ticking over, ticking over, ticking over. Me and my my wife, I'm just, like, she doesn't really care about footy at all. But I'm just sort of saying to her, like, you know, it's 45-0. It's 64-0. It's 71-0. And she's, at a certain point, even she's like, are you kidding me? Like, what's going on right now? That's cooked. But... I'll just repeat that. At one point in time, in the second quarter, it's 71-0. And we're talking about the top team in the AFL, albeit very clearly not in their best form or any particularly good form or not even mediocre form at the moment. It's horrible. But for any team, even the bottom team, even a North, even a Richmond, West Coast, to be down 71-0 is dead set embarrassing. Right? Full credit to Port Adelaide. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Sydney's out of form, da, da, da. I don't care how out of form you are. There is no way you allow this to happen. Completely disgraceful. Longmire, after the game, he's got nothing to say. He said it's not up to standard, it's disgraceful, and so on. But what do you say after a performance like that? These are grown men, AFL professionals, top of the table. You know, you have a bad quarter, a bad half. Where's the pride? Where's the stemming of the flow and just saying, okay, this is already embarrassing. Let's not lose by 100 points. And that's the funny thing to me is, as bad as it got, there was scope to at least get it within 60 to 80 points. But blown out, and in the end, what was it? 112 points, man. That is disgusting. I was thinking to myself, when's the last time a team top of the ladder has had a spanking like this at this point in the season? And then I got this post come up. So there's only the biggest wins by sides taking on the team sitting on top of the AFL ladder, right? It's only happened 5 times. This was the fifth. We had one in 1983, Fitzroy versus North, 150 points. Then we had this one here, 112. So the second biggest loss for a team first ever, Port v Sydney. Then you had Geelong v Fitzroy in 1933. West Coast v Essendon was 99 points in 1988. And then you had Geelong v Collingwood in 2011. 96 points. So basically, this is unprecedented, like once in a lifetime almost experience. So if you're the Port Adelaide Footy Club, just well done, like cherish the day. I mean, seriously, it's one of these things where to play at such an elite level across the board, like all their players played well, it must have been like a pinch myself moment. Like, that is absolutely ridiculous. Georgiades, 4 goals. Rioli, 4 goals. Dixon, 3. I mean, who didn't score a goal in this game? Far out. Radaglio would be a bit stiff. He's kicked 1 goal, 4. It could have been even worse. But really, yeah, I mean, the Swans completely, yeah, it is disgraceful. And I just want to say, like, Mills is back now as well. That's the funny thing. So Mills is back, the captain. Parker's back, another leader of the club. So it's not like, they do have a couple outs, but in no way am I excusing them whatsoever. There's every other team in the league has even more outs. But Port, just by what I hear and read, is completely shut out everything they were doing. Skill errors galore for the Swans. They couldn't get it in their 50. They couldn't get it up the field. Complete and utter domination from Port. So hats off to them. But again, I'm very sorry that no one watched it. One of the most epic moments of your history, and no one's going to recall it that well. And that puts Port, if I can just go back to the ladder for a second here, that puts Port up to third on the ladder. Obviously, Brizzy is just in great form. And Sydney, all of a sudden now, they're 2 points behind the Lions. And at this current rate, you're thinking Brisbane somehow are going to finish first after being, starting the year in a ridiculous way, poor form, bottom eight for most of the year. They've just risen so quietly up the ladder that they're probably going to pinch first, which is absolutely ridiculous. And Port in third place. Let's go to Sunday. So that's earlier today. We had GWS v Hawthorn. Man, stiff if you're a Hawks fan. 29 points up start of the last quarter. And then GWS, 7 goal last term. Is actually crazy. They were going to do it. They were always going to do it. I mean, GWS are a team that can move the ball quickly. They can play that sort of reckless brand of football if they need to. And it just seemed like for the longest time in that game, they weren't going to kick a winning score. Like, Hawthorn was defending well, capitalizing on their chances, and had their lead deservingly. But I'll tell you what, you've probably got the Coleman medalist there, Jesse Hogan, in great form again. You've got Toby Green preparing for September in some of his best form of the year. And their big players just stood up. And again, like, if you're Hawthorn, you're thinking, geez, like, there was opportunities to kill that game off. And even in that last quarter, they did stem the run of the GWS. At one point, it was 3 early goals for the Giants, but then the Hawks get 2 of the next 3. And they're back up by 16 points. So you're thinking, okay, you know, they'll get it done. But 3 late goals. I mean, 3 goals in 4 minutes at any point of the game is disappointing. For it to happen at the end of a game and then end up losing it by 2 points. Yeah, what can you say? Stiff on the Hawks. I mean, some other results didn't go their way. But obviously, they've got Carlton next week. And if they had just won today, then they would have actually had a chance of jumping into the 8. So, unfortunately, even if they win next week, they're not going to get into the 8 due to percentage. So, might get a bit difficult for them to make it now at this point. Obviously, they've got North in the last round. And over the next 2 weeks, they've got Carlton and Richmond. So, look, if they beat Carlton next week, you'd imagine they'd beat Richmond and North. It'd be very, very unfortunate if they still didn't make it. That would probably mean that Essendon's finished the year really strongly, which is unlikely. And the Blues recover in their other 2 games. So, it's sort of out of their hands a little bit now. I mean, they can win their games, but they are officially at that point where they need results going their way with only 3 games to go. But Giants in fourth place. And if the finals started right now, it'd be Sydney v. the Giants in the first qualifying final. So, interesting stuff. It's not going to stay that way. I can't see Sydney staying first at this point. And GWS might even finish on top of Sydney. They're only 4 points behind them. So, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, really, really cracking game of football. I think Will Day, I mean, Matza commented on the potty last week. He wanted more Will Day talk. Well, I'll give it to you now, Matza. He was not good. Will Day, 14 disposals. And ever since he's been back in the team, Hawks have been a great team. So I think this guy is the definition of barometer for the Hawks. And clearly, yeah, when he's been kept quiet, Hawks didn't have that extra edge over them. But in saying that, the Hawks did still kick a score that was capable of winning the game. So credit to the Hawks for sort of working around that. Gunston winding back the clock with 4 goals certainly helps. But yeah, they just sort of lacked the know-how in the final moments of the game. And they've had some fun, like, pounding on some teams lately, but I guess in the close games, that's where a lot of experience shines through. And unfortunately for them, they didn't have it, and the Giants did, so well done to them. Essendon, the Bombers. Flowers to you, my friends. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm sitting watching very heavily in Freo's corner, hoping you'd lose. I mean, I actually am willing to say this is probably the first time all year I was actually impressed by Essendon beating a good team. Other times we sort of thought maybe they had, but it turns out the teams were always out of form or, you know, in hindsight, looking back on the wins that we thought were impressive, turns out maybe the team wasn't in their best moment or in a bad run of form. So this is the first time they're playing a team that was in the top four. And they were down and looking out the Bombers. I mean, in that last quarter, so we've got... Where were we at? We were 25 points down. And then Nick Martin gets a goal. But then it was another 7 or so minutes before the next goal. And it was Caddy, Martin again, Gresham, Langford. Within 5 minutes, they've kicked 4 goals and taken the lead, not only by a point, but by 7 points. Completely turned the game on its head. And then when Jai Amos kicks that goal and ties the game, there was about 30 seconds to go. You're thinking, geez, this clearance is one of the most exciting clearances you'll have all year. Tied game, 30 seconds, one clearance. And what a clearance it was. Zach Merritt stands up, escapes to the ball, handballs it to Durham, who gets a point. And then obviously Freo runs out of time. They did have that heave up the field, and then Draper with an impressive mark of all people. So, well done to the Bombers. I mean, did you guys see Dermot Brereton during the, I think it was the three-quarter time briefing they did in the studio of Fox Footy, he showed footage of Nick Cox helping up a Freo player after a tackle. And he's basically like, you know, if you're wanting to have the edge, you know, he's a great kid, Nick Cox, but if you want to give the team the edge, you can't be helping him up. You got to give him hell the whole time. And then he actually gets on the floor and wants Dicko to show him what he would have done. And Dicko sort of like moves his arm away and like pretends to pick him up and doesn't. I'm just thinking, these guys are clowns, man. Like, it was actually pretty funny, but bloody hell. Back to that greater point is the Bombers finally again showed their Essendon edge. I'd say in quotation marks for those not watching the pod. Look, I think it's sometimes teams just play with more intent and effort, and I think the Bombers don't do it enough. But when they have done it, they have shown they can be a pretty overwhelming offensive team. The question then is, where the hell's that been over the past few weeks? And now that you've beaten Freo, let's not forget what happened over the last couple of weeks where you've almost sealed your fate of not making finals. But of course, they're back in it now. They're only 2 points behind the Blues. Percentage is the poorest of the lot, so that's going to be important for them. But if we look at their last couple of games, so they've got the Suns at home, and Suns can't win away. So you'd think, imagine the Suns get their first away win against the Bombers. That'd be classic. But then they've got the Suns at home, Marvel though, and then they've got Marvel again against Sydney, who by then, who knows what they'll be up to. And then their last game, the Bombers, is actually against the Lions at the Gabba. So we've got to be honest and probably pencil that one in as a loss. Gold Coast, can they finally win away? Jeez. Nah, if I'm being honest, Bombers should win that game. And then who did I say? They've got the Swans and then the Lions. Jeez. It's going to be tough. Banter aside, I don't think they'll do it. But hey, a game like this is crucial for them. So well done. Like honestly, Freo gave it to them for most of the game. Not in a way where they ever blew them out too far, clearly. But they're a hard team to beat, Freo. And to win in the middle, and that's when all the momentum started turning, just clearance after clearance. That's the most impressive thing for me. Because you've got Brayshaw, Young, Sarong, known for this sort of stuff. And, you know, great ruckman as well for Freo. So yeah, well done to the Bombers, man. You did it. Finally, good to see the fans up and about. I mean, you want to see your team not giving up and just rolling over. And look, if they really are learning the lessons from last year, that's one way to show it. And then there was another game that no one really watched, which was St Kilda v Brizzy. Especially when you're watching the end of the Essendon game, which is awesome. And then you've got the score in the bottom corner of this game and you're just saying it's already over. But it was actually quite similar to the Port game in this way, where the score at one point is 77-10. I don't know. It seems like every year this becomes like silly season of the AFL, where you'll get these really cracking games, obviously with a lot of the line, and then you'll get these games where you're just like, well, what is going on? Why is this team losing by 100 points? You know, why are they losing by 80 points? And I know the Saints haven't been good this year, but if you look at their form recently, this isn't a result you'd expect, even against an in-form Brizzy team. Couple of the standout performers, man, the Lions, can we just talk about Joe Danaher for a second? This guy here, he's probably, obviously being in Queensland doesn't get all the media hype, but if we're being honest, his impact on games for Brisbane is up there with the impact that any other player has on any other team. He's a handful. He's huge. He's got a really penetrating kick. And his goal scoring's been really consistent. So shout out to him. Bailey and Rayner with three each. I think if you look at Brizzy and you say Rayner, Bailey at their best, and then you've got Lohmann who's been really good, that's sort of underneath your Danaher and what's his name? Hipwood. Underneath Hipwood and Danaher, if you've got these really electric, skillful small forwards kicking a couple goals or capable of kicking 3 to 4 goals on any given day, that's the Brisbane of old that's like scary in their attack. Now, their defense is a different story, but quite clearly, I mean, Saints aren't any high-scoring team generally, but I wonder how they'll go in September. I mean, their form clearly suggests that as a team, they're defending well, even if a lot of their names aren't there. So, I mean, you'd be stupid to write off the Lions just because of a few injuries when their form's been the best in the comp over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, hats off to them. But, yeah, don't have too much else to say about that game because I didn't watch it. So, man, what a round. Look, to be honest with you guys, I think I've figured out, like, we're saying how competitive the league is. It obviously is. I'm starting to think now, instead of saying, like, there's so many good teams, I think there's just a lot of mediocre teams and they're all just beating each other. Because if there were really a lot of good teams, I don't think there'd be this many actual good teams, you know, in any given year. I think there's actually no great teams. Let's put it that way. No teams where you're saying, that's the team I'm scared of. You can be worried about every team's strengths, of course, but maybe we need to rethink how we're reflecting on this year instead of saying there's so many good teams. I think there's just no real great teams. But anyway, that's about it, guys. Let's do a bit of tipping. And this is an interesting one because the boys aren't here to tell me to not tip North. So I'm definitely going to tip them when we get to that. Spoiler alert. But Friday night, man, this is a huge one. Sydney at the SCG against Collingwood. Usually these two teams are playing in close games, right? Sydney has just been, a pantsed would be like the understatement of the year. They've been absolutely embarrassed, obviously, by Port. And they're back at home, you know, I'm not going to say must win. Obviously, they're playing finals no matter what, but you can't not respond to that. And I don't mean respond and compete. I mean like respond and beat Collingwood comfortably. But the thing is this, Collingwood most likely won't roll over. And they've got a lot to play for. Collingwood, if they win this game, depending on other results, they'll be tied with the Blues on points. And then they're obviously relying on a lot to go their way. But this is one here, if the Pies win, they've got two more games to go. Who are they playing in their last two? They've got the Lions. Oh, geez, that's going to be hard. And then last round is against the D's. So Swans line D's. Yeah, look, Collingwood's probably not going to make it. It'd be a miracle. But in saying that, you know, reigning premiers, we can't write them off. We can't say and just assume they're not going to make it so they won't put in all their effort. So, geez, who am I tipping here? I'm not going to tip Sydney. Stuff them. You can't get pants like that and expect me to tip you. You have to earn the tip back. So let's go Collingwood. I think they're on a bit of a high as well. So let's see if they can back it up. Then we go to second game of the round, which is the Lions v. the Giants at the Gabba. Look, interesting game. Second v. fourth has top four implications. I think I'll have to go Lions at the Gabba. North v. the Eagles, Blundstone Arena in Hobart. Like I said earlier, the Eagles played a brutally physical game and they're traveling all the way to Tassie. I think that alone should give North the upper hand, even though we've lost Griffin Logue and we're apparently not going to have Wardlaw again due to this. Man needs to report his concussions on game day because he's reporting them later in the week. And then North's without him for two games instead of one due to the concussion protocol. So, look, we aren't as fit as we've been all year. We've had pretty good luck besides the beginning of the year with Goda and CCJ. I have to tip North. I would really love to win two in a row. I mean, we're probably not going to finish on top of the Eagles due to percentage, but you know, when you're playing teams in and around your quality level, they're the ones you want to win. And I think the Eagles might be a bit banged up from all the effort they put in last week. So let's go North on that one. Frio v. the Cats at Optus Stadium. Got to be Frio for me. Geelong sort of got over the line in an impressive way against the Crows. But Frio, despite their loss, I think at Optus, they have to beat the bet. Bombers v. Suns. I really want to tip the Suns, but I would be a hypocrite for calling George. I can't even remember what I called the poor guy, but Georgie tipped Suns away against North, and I ridiculed him for it. So I can't tip the Suns. I'm going to have to go the Bombers on that one. D's v Port at the G. Interesting. Got to be Port. Actually, that's not interesting at all. Port's just pants the league leader. So it's going to be Port. It might, if they can do it at the G as well and completely embarrass Melbourne, I might start getting serious about what I think about Port come finals time, especially with Radaglia up forward. It's given them, like, you've got Georgiades, Dixon, Radaglia. That's a lot of power in the forward line. So no pun intended on that one. But yeah, let's go Port. Collingwood v Hawthorn at the G. Far out. Far out. Who do you tip on this one? If Hawthorn wins, like I said earlier, they're equal points with Carlton. Carlton likely could go out of the eight if Essendon wins, if that happens. Blues must win to stay in finals. I'm going to go Hawthorn, though. I think Hawthorn losing to GWS away just by 2 points, that's a harsh loss, and they could have easily won if a few things went their way. So I'm going to go Hawthorn. I don't think Carlton is deserving of a tip right now. They're in poor form. Hawthorn plays that reckless attacking footy, so you know that even if they go down a bit, Blues are going to have a hard time keeping up with them, I think, the way they're going. But in saying that, Carlton's only advantage is exactly what GWS took advantage of, which is the key forward. Hawthorn has been known for a while wanting a key defender. Carlton has Mackay and Kerno. Now, I don't know, actually, did Kerno get injured? That might change things, but I'm still going to go Hawthorn. I think they'll find a way. And Carlton, yeah, not deserving a tip at the moment. Tigers v the Saints at Marvel. Jeez, now Richmond was pretty bad. Besides some short spurts against North, the skills were way down. I think the Saints should just run away with it. And then the Crows hosting the Dogs. Adelaide Oval. Crows have been putting up a fight lately, but I think for the first time all year, I actually feel confident that the Dogs are legit and will show their form away from home. The only time they really disappointed was against Port, but I mean, you're looking at Port's form now and you're thinking, okay, getting smashed up by them in Adelaide might be, you know, we might come to expect that over the next few rounds. So I'll have to go the Dogs on that one, I reckon. But anyway, yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. I know solo pod, obviously, there's not a lot of discussion, just a lot of Dino rambling. But yeah, like I said, the boys sort of carried the pod while I took a few weeks off when my daughter was born a few months ago. So I thought I'll repay them. I'll surprise them with the solo Dino pod. But yeah, hope Georgie gets better soon. Hope Matzo is enjoying his, probably at this point, his second or third Freddo Espresso of the day. So enjoy, boys. Thanks a lot to the Enjoyers community as well for listening and watching. Yeah, like, sub, all that stuff. We don't ask for it often, but yeah, would mean a lot. I guess we're trying to grow the channel slowly, slowly. But yeah, let us know what you think. Hopefully, Georgie will be back next week with me. Yeah, enjoy the footy in the meantime, and see you on the next one.